how you can use that from the perspective of someone who is an absolute champion. I met Chastity a few years ago when we got involved, and Jimmy Smith brought me to a question about the World History Standards. I think that's what we refer to all of it. Chastity lives a fight. She's a teacher from Costa Rica. She has her teaching job on the line because she's bucking the system every day that she does something like this. But she's willing to fight the fight and deal with the consequences. You know, first idea. And that's good because he's not making people dominate. Well, that's where we are. She's the leader in this fight, and what we're going to hear from her, I think, will be a prescription for all of you to take back to your hometowns. You know, those indicators, those ideas that are so necessary that you can have a leg up on the arguments that are coming and the degree to which you can stand eye to eye and toe to toe with people who literally are the enemy. Chastity White, please.
I think I've met many of you guys, and I'm explaining to you where I started my research in Common Core. I want to start by telling you my main reason for being here today is your kids and your grandkids. They are the main thing, and they always will be the main thing. In every decision we make about education, we have to keep the kids the main thing every time. And that's what keeps me coming to meetings like this, and it keeps me awake at night researching, because when you keep the kids the main thing, they just, you can't support something that is not going to help our students. And so in 2010, real briefly, I learned there was a meeting funded by the Gates Foundation, sponsored by the Council of State Governments, occurring in a real fancy building, top floor in Montgomery. So I called the Council of State Government a few weeks before, and I asked if any educators had been invited to the meeting to discuss education reform. The next day, I got an invitation. And so I went to this meeting to discuss what would be a meeting to discuss Common Core. And I quickly noticed I was the only educator in the room. There were a lot of legislators, there were a lot of business officials, and there were a lot of people talking about education that never stepped foot in the classroom. As I listened, still with an open mind, because I think we do need very good standards, I noticed some things that weren't quite right. One was the need for national standards based on international benchmarking information. And they cited the TISA international benchmark test. And one thing stuck out is the speaker referenced China. Well, I had just returned from my third trip to China as a guest of the Chinese government to discuss education reform. And I noticed that the year they were referencing, China only gave that TISA test to one district in Shanghai, the wealthiest district in China. So I knew there that we weren't comparing apples to apples. If we took the wealthiest kids and the brightest kids in one district and call that the United States, maybe we could compare. But I knew something was amiss. And so I began to study. Just like all of you, I started to search standards and study what Common Core meant, the funding behind it. And it's just grown into this massive undertaking that I've just never seen anything like it. And to save some time for questions, I'm going to jump right into the meat of where teachers are at on this. And I'm going to say two things. First, if you compare when you went out and you had children and you were looking for a daycare, if you visited a daycare center, that daycare center that wants your business is going to tell you that they are the very best daycare center that has ever been. They will give you lots of colorful flyers and lots of great comments from people that will say, yes, you need to choose our daycare center. You know that as nice as those people may be, that's your baby. You're tending to them every day. So you will go home and you will call every guy you know and send a child to that daycare center, and you will see what the real deal is. Is this really a good daycare center? Your gut instinct as a parent and a grandparent is to do that. Unfortunately, that has not occurred with Common Core. Teachers, and I say teachers, when I say this, I mean well-meaning administrators and superintendents who may have heart in the right place for children, they have not done the very basic undertaking of shaping their facts and shaping their history. It is a trickle-down approach when you get a superintendent or a principal with all the facts against Common Core, and you have drilled them for 30 minutes, and they finally start kind of listening to you, then they will say, well, that's just my job. I'm just doing what I'm told to do. And unfortunately, this affects the rest of this math notion that Common Core is a good thing. So, in one respect, you have teachers who are being told to support Common Core by administrators who have been told to support Common Core by superintendents who told them to support Common Core. And so, you are getting a lot of that in classrooms. I also want to talk about how this is affecting teachers. You guys have kids who have come to your class, or come to your home that has come from broken homes, where you can tell the difference between kids who have come from a positive environment, where they've been brought up in a loving, nurturing environment, versus kids who you can tell in 5 minutes that they've come from a home that is broken, where they've constantly been told they're not good enough. No matter what they do, that kid will just never be good enough. You can see it in those children. You see it at home, where you may have had a kid visit your home or a church. I see it in the classroom. I can see, in a very short period of time, the kids who are just emotionally broken because they can't take any more being told that they're just not good enough, no matter what they do. That is what is happening to our teachers. We have been told that nothing we do will ever be good enough. We have something that we always have to do every year. It's called a continuous improvement plan. Because we're never going to improve enough, apparently. And we're told that every year something has to improve. And I do think there's room for improvement. But we're given these statistics that we don't compare to other countries, or that Alabama does not compare to other states. That tears a teacher down, it tears parents down in community, and it tears students' morale down. And you're left with this shell of a teacher who is grasping at something to improve upon. It is exactly the same thing as a child who comes to your home who is so broken. Teachers are broken. They know something is up with Common Core, but many of them are still trying to piece that together. This is nothing more than a skill package when teachers are told, Alabama didn't do this, Alabama didn't do that, we have to improve. They leave out what Alabama is doing correct. And I want to point out some things that your leaders at in Montgomery are not telling you. They're not telling you that our reading game were second highest in the nation. They're not telling you that our math game were the top 5 in the nation. Your leaders, and this is, let me make this very clear, this is before Common Core standards. Last year, the University of Alabama had more national merit scholars in their freshman class than any other public four-year college in the nation. And those are just a few things just to start. You guys are doing great, right in your head. Is there room to improve? grateful parents and teachers, of course, that you're doing a fantastic job. And it saddens me so much that people trying to push Common Core as this necessary thing we have to do because we're failing, they're not telling you what you're doing right. What you're doing right with your kids is helping our kids lead the nation in reading and math games and have national merit scholars in our colleges. And those national merit scholars came from Alabama. Those are the few things that we're not being told. And so when I hear this, we have to do Common Core because we just have to improve. That really makes me sad because it's such a scare tactic to make you feel like you haven't done your job as a parent and teachers have not done their job in the classroom. And you are. You're doing great things. So I did want to touch on that. Also, how Common Core standards do influence the curriculum. The standards are the what we teach. And the curriculum, most times, is how we teach it. The standards are influencing how we teach the curriculum in many ways. And it touches on the 70-30 split. That is in high school, it's 50-50 in middle and I believe similar elementary grades for informational text versus literature. And when you question this, administrators will say, well, there's no curriculum police on that. You have to teach 70% informational text, 30% literature. But there is. It's the test. When your child takes that standardized test, that is the police. Because if your child is not getting that 70-30 informational text versus literature, when they get to the test that's created by the people who once created Common Core and now are taking jobs to create the test, your kids are not going to do well on the test. It doesn't mean your child is not smart. It means they are not testing according to that 70-30 split. So teachers will be forced to teach to the test. Kentucky was the first state to adopt Common Core. They adopted it before those standards were written, and they got their results back first on the test. And the standardized tests were 30% plus lower. Central Hour in Alabama curriculum specialists predict similar things will happen in Alabama. And they will say, well, of course, because the standards are so much more rigorous that the test scores have to come down. Well, that's just not the case. Because, well, you told me I had 2 minutes, so I'm trying to wrap it up quickly. So the bottom line on that is that the test is a standardized test. I'm going to touch on the data because there was a question. Leaders will tell you that the data is safe in the SLDS, State Longitudinal Data System. That in itself is questionable, to be very brief. But also, I want you to keep in mind that not everything stored in the SLDS. Right now, Global Scholar is a standardized test taken online that is owned by a private company. A second major statewide endeavor is something called Career Cruising. That information is stored in cloud, whatever that is. I'm still learning this too. But the data is a huge problem, and I'm sure there'll be questions on that, so I want to touch on Plan 2020 race-based standards before I sit down. Plan 2020 is our way of implementing Common Core in Alabama, meaning that it's at Plan 2020. If you read the fine print, the major thing that I just have the worst time is that students of different racial backgrounds have different achievement goals. Now, people will tell you at the State Department, people will tell you at administrative offices, all kinds of reasons to validate this, and they will say some very fancy words. But at the end of the day, race-based standards are race-based standards are race-based standards. What do parents do? Some of these parents are going to be given online. Well, the scholar is one of those tests. You have to sign at the beginning of the school year an internet access permission form. You've all signed it because the internet, I use the internet a lot in my history classroom, and it is frustrating when I have a student whose parents say they cannot use the internet because I do have to work around that a bit. But if you don't sign that form, your kids can't take that online test. Now, I can tell you what's happening in my district with Global Scholar. That is not being checked like it should. So, as a parent, you would need to follow up on that sheet that you turn in at the beginning of the year, or if you've already turned it in. Take another letter to your school and tell the school specifically your child cannot take online debt. Because that is a permission form, that's a statewide. So if you don't give them permission to take online, they can access the internet for specifically online tests, they can't take them. In many cases now, there's not a paper copy of that test. Also, yes, we did need to meet with teachers. It is such a grassroots effort that surprise, you've now become the state leader and fighting Concord. You have to do what you have to do is sit down with teachers and other parents, even if it's one person a day. If you don't know exactly how to hold those conversations, contact me on my Facebook, and I'll give you my private email, and I will walk you through every question that they can possibly ask about Common Core, and I will give you the data that you can have with you. Handwritten letters to legislators to their homes. That is so much more powerful than a phone call or a message or an email. You can write it, let your child handwrite a letter as well. Anybody you know, have them handwrite a letter and send it to their home. Call them at their job. They need to hear from somebody about Common Core every day. And really, when I know I'm a little older, my quick Joanne Robinson story. I truly would all my heart believe that this is the civil rights movement of our time, education reform. There's never been a more important time for parents and teachers to come together and this time is about our kids. Right here in Alabama, we all concurred with Rose Park. She didn't compromise. She didn't say, well, maybe I could give up my theater a few days a week. No, she didn't compromise. But many of you have not heard of Joanne Robinson. Joanne Robinson was a teacher. It was Joanne who asked her brother for refused to give up her seat. Joanne Robinson stayed up all night, hand-making the flyers, hundreds of them, to pass out to citizens in Montgomery to advertise the now famous Montgomery bus boycott that captured world attention. If it were not for Joanne Robinson, the world may not have had the civil rights movement that we have that we remember today. Joanne was the grassroots person who made flyer after flyer, who walked door to door having those individual conversations. You are all very welcome. And it will take each and every one of you doing something as simple as walking to your neighbor, walking to a classroom and kindly explaining what Common Core is and not backing down, not one time, not for a single day. And that's all I'm going to say. I'll be happy to take questions. Please.
We're back to work. Okay. Each one of those individuals has got to fight this fight. And the chapter is discussed is absolutely the truth on this. So, we're going to do question and answer after we get to our speakers, okay? My next speaker is David Woodcox, Georgia Tech graduate, engineer. Guess what? He knows that. I played football against Georgia Tech. But I love it now because Georgia Tech is the best market of engineering in the South. And so when David, who is also a board member, board of education member from Baldwin County, our county down here, what David is going to suggest to you here is that this is something that we can defeat, but you have got to be engaged in it. He is bringing a perspective that we need to have more board members who think like this. Look, if you all are happy with Mary Scott,
No,
of course not. Well, and you're unhappy with Tracy Roberts as I am, this is the man who's going to take Tracy out next time around. Okay, I'm putting him on. David, please tell us the problem. We can't get him up here, so just if you can, just make sure you can pay attention. David, you got the floor. I have to cut you down to 10 minutes, so I'm going to get you the hook if you get off.
Not a lot of people, and now they're out.
attractive and have a low challenge and high disability or distracting areas, unfortunately. So how do you say that this assessment really they didn't want to fund? You get an inventory of how or what can happen. And frankly, we care what they know. We don't know how quickly they can run. In this world, very little about exactly what you know and how fast you can figure out it. So when we take all these tests, we're having all the tests. And we make the assumption in that case that we're making a good, we're taking the good assessment of what we do. So I'm looking at this. My wife is teacher. And I don't know if this is people who are doing my test. I don't know if this is people who are doing my test. You know, a little one. So I took a civil court, and I ran an hearing on this court. That made up, in terms of many years, that I was like, well, I was like, the field is invalid. So when you apply a trend line to the trend line, if you have it, it's not really an indicator of where they were or where that child would be. Because if you look at the plot and all the information over a period of time, this court are always that. And that doesn't tell you anything. From a physical standpoint, that means nothing. You know, you run a trend line, you need a trend line, you're going to do a statistical amount or any amount of data that they get. All they're taking is a claim, a higher up claim that we're doing to see what I'm doing. We need to be able to apply a trend line, figure out where they were, where they are now, and then continue that way, it will be in 2 weeks or a month or a year or whatever. Well, it doesn't work because the trend line is only accurate to maybe 40 or 50% at best. That's not a good indicator of that child. Why is it not? Because that child may have had that. Maybe the teacher was perfect that day. If you had faculty, you had to plan field trips, you had to dental little kids, okay? You had a 30-year class. You had a new student, you had 30 you had 3 days, you had all of the children different. If we really want to perform education, we don't need to we don't need national standards. And largely we don't need to do local if we need to do local. What we need to do is allow teachers to do the job.
Yeah.
And they know it's that is why I have a question. Now I mean I'm not going to really need it. I agree 100% that the way they can shut down my career is unconstitutional and it's wrong in the way. I don't agree with all of this. I think I hear complaints from teachers and parents all the time. But right now, it's a little like this. Consider this all the time, we talk to a school board member or a legislator or maybe a principal or whatever, and you say, I don't like that discussion. They say, I know this. I don't like it either, but the federal government comes to make good, they probably want it. Well, I'm going to say this too. Because the teacher is saying, I don't like that my son was taught whatever. I'm sorry, but it's kind of whatever we have to do that. And too many teachers, you know, so like I said before, and as I said earlier, I'm going to get into more work, hopefully, but it's not, unfortunately. And when this is the point where we're monitoring the assessment in schools, and they're no longer able to take the students that they want to teach, they have to be independent, but they have to have a schedule. We're not going to be able to tell a teacher or principal, I don't want my child to learn this. This is what I do. I don't think my child is ready for this, or whatever. Do that. Because it's the same for everyone, the same school. Earlier, we were talking about Tracy Roberts saying that there's no law that gives you the right to opt the child out. That means, okay, pretty sure that law is going to be right, law protect your life, and she did not give a law saying that you cannot opt the child out. There are certain laws coming around now. Fortunately, if you got to opt out, we got to get rid of common school. We don't have to get rid of the family because there's a lot of private school, but. Or not.
Superintendent Vice, he did their Dolly Pony show here just last week at the work session, and
a big deal on a fashion resolution to get rid of the memorandum of understanding that they had initially on town coal. Well, that does absolutely no good. And in order to put this into bubble talk so people can understand it a little better, I wrote an article recently where I described it the same process as getting married. The memorandum of agreement was the engagement ring. You know, a man asks a woman to marry him, he gives her a ring, and, you know, that's the engagement. It's nothing but the intent to marry. It's a promise to marry, but it's not official. When you actually walk down the aisle and you say, I do, you sign the marriage papers, and you go on honeymoon, you are most definitely in a legal arrangement at that point. When you have children that you are obligated to take care of, you are most definitely in a legal arrangement and a binding arrangement at that point. So the MOA now, that was nothing but an intent to take up common core. However, when in 2009 the state school board passed a resolution adopting common core, part of it, and then in 2010 they passed another resolution adopting the rest of it. One of them was reading, one of them was math. Those were the legal obligations. That was the marriage vow, and that made it binding. Then, later on, when they applied for race for the time, funny, and like Emmett McGordy told you, nobody had seen common core when they agreed to take it on. It's sort of like Nancy Pelosi. You got to pass it before you know what's in it. Okay? The deadline to sign up for race for the time money and agree that you were going to implement common core was sometime, I think, the end of December or the 1st of January, and yet the first edition of the real common core didn't come out until April, and the second one was out in June. So they had all 45 states that agreed that they were going to implement common core before they knew what it was, all based on the possibility of getting race to the top funds. And if you look at where that money went, nearly all of it went to states that supported the Democratic Party and Barack Obama. So we didn't have a snowball chance anyway, but we agreed to it. And all of it get on the list for race to the top funds. We're still on the list for a possibility of race to the top funds. We still have agreed to the common core to have a chance to get at that money. Now, no child left behind, as I like to call it, every child left behind program, is not going well. Teachers are really wanting to get out from under this. So we asked for a waiver. Alabama asked for a waiver to get out from under no child left behind. Guess what you got to do to get out from under the mandates? You got to agree to implement Common Core, their assessments, and everything that goes along with it. So to say that Barack Obama, the Democratic Party, the federal government is not controlling education from Washington, D.C. is just absolutely ludicrous. You know, you follow the money trail, and that's what it always is. As an aside, I'd say the U.S. Constitution absolutely forbids the federal government to have anything to do with education, especially in the states. So the way you get around that, if you take that money and you go to the local government and you tell them, if you do what we want you to do, we will give you this money. But when it gets passed locally, it is legal and it is constitutional. That form. So they find a way to circumvent the U.S. Constitution by using your dollars. And of course, when they have, you know, they have the printing press, they print the money. And so they just print whatever they need, or they borrow what they need from our enemies, the Chinese, or the Arabs, or whoever. But every dollar that they use to buy the program that they want reduces the value of the dollar in the market. That's where it comes from. And so they're using this money to circumvent the Constitution to get the states and the counties, the local people to do this. But anyway, to sum it up, I want to make that clear. The MOA no longer has any real impact. It was superseded by much more stringent and binding agreements. The MOA was only a statement of intent. With or without the MOA, these other agreements will remain in effect. So that was nothing but a smoke screen to try to fool people into thinking that we were, you know, promising to sacrifice the federal government. We didn't do that at all. Unfortunately, our governor thought that we would. You know, he was promoting this. He
way to get out from under common core. But the Republicans say they want to rock our hard ones. They want the money for PCA, which is the biggest campaign contributor in the state right now. They want the boots on the ground, which is the Tea Party. The Tea Party, the local Republican groups, the any conservative in the state pretty much opposes common core, but the money's on the other side. And they do not want to go on record voting on this issue because either way, it's going to cause a problem. So they would love to do anything to avoid actually voting on this in the legislature. But they're not going to have a choice. But we're going to be bringing it back. Now, Scott Beeson was on trial here today. He didn't make it. Scott ended up sponsoring several of our Common Core, the real Common Core bills last year. And it was kind of a replay of those, one of those scary movies that they did right in the 13th. You know, Jason, we kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. They would just beat us down into the dirt and they walk off thinking, well, that takes care of those people. And then the next week we'd be right back with them. We did that four times. And finally, we got to the end of the session. We had enough senators who said that they would vote for it, not all of them will. We got enough of them who would vote for it to get it out of the Senate. If we got it out of the Senate, we could have probably got it passed in the House. And Dale Hart walks up and says, well, I don't know enough about it. I'm not going to allow it to come out for the vote. Now, that irritated some other senators for a fair. In fact, they killed two of his favorite bills that I had in his community. When I turned on the TV that night, I watched a couple of our guys, Paul Sanford up in North Alabama, was just tearing one of his fellow senators to shreds over some little unimportant issue. It didn't have anything to do with that. He was mad about not being able to vote on common core. So it's created a big wedge issue. And we're going to keep coming back. They're going to have to face it because the only thing that's going to turn common core around is a repeal of the state legislation. They have all the time. And we're going to have to do it. Now, there's another bill out there. Another bill was saying that Price is trying to form, in fact, he did form, a commission of non-public education. Believe it or not, this will control homeschoolers and private schools and religious schools and all that stuff. And the legislation has actually on the books in the past 1997. It's what I call landmine legislation. This big socialist blueprint is a 50-year plan. They're halfway through it. And these guys know what they're going to need 15, 20 years in advance. So in 1997, they passed a bill that allows them to do that, but nobody ever tried to enforce it. It was waiting for its time, and when its time came, they pulled it out. And when you object to it, guess what they say? Well, it's been on the books for 20 years. What are you fussing about? See? So landmine legislation. Another one, the exemplars, they keep saying, you know, all these terrible books, you know, they're called for by Common Core. One of my patriots went down to the local library, he got a list of the banned books by the National Library Association. There was a whole page of them, and guess what? Practically every one of them was in the exemplars for Common Core. It's what they expect to be taught, and yet they're banned by the National Library Association. And one more quick point. Nobody, to my knowledge, has run an analysis on what it's going to cost within the state of Alabama. Has run an analysis of what it's going to cost to implement Common Core. Now, the Pioneer Institute, I think it was, they ran an analysis, and they say it's going to cost $267 million just to start and implement Common Core. Nobody in the state, either Republican or brother, have not run that analysis. I think if they have, they kept it quiet because they don't want people to know what it's going to. I can tell you there were two proposals at the end of the session last year, one for $50 million, which went to technical school. Frankly, technical schools needed that, and we didn't fight it. Another one was for $100 million, and Gerald Dowell put it out. We managed to get that one killed. Guess which? You know, guess what is SB? The first bill in the House and the first bill in the Senate is another $100 million bond issue to buy computers and do infrastructure. And frankly, where this education needs improving the most, if you send in taxpayers' laptops and taxpayers' tablets. They're going to use them as freebies instead of education tools. And who's going to be on the hook to repair, maintain, and replace? We don't. Well, that's pretty much that was a story. One more thing. A group called STI, who was based in Mobile, collects information data all over the state. I have a nice article somewhere where they were talking about they just signed another contract with Alabama Education for the 400-point longitudinal data system, which will be stored in the cloud. And anybody that knows anything about it, they can tell me I'm safe. And these folks